kid. I'm putting together a crew.
Hey, Carbonite Crew listeners, this is your host, Tyler, and I recently had the opportunity to sit down and chat with Dominic Pace. He plays Gecko the Bounty Hunter on Disney Plus's The Mandalorian series, and I'm sure you're all familiar with the series. It is a fantastic series. Season 1 was amazing. Season 2 just wrapped filming, and I cannot wait. I hope there is more to come. Dominic and I discuss a little bit about Season 2. We just talk about his career and his time playing Gecko and his feelings and thoughts on it, as well as some of his time that he's been spending on the convention circuit. So here's that interview for you guys. I hope you enjoy it. Let us know what you think. Go follow Dominic on all the social media platforms, as well as the Carbonite Crew at all our social media platforms. And may the Force be with you guys. Here's that interview for you. I just like to welcome you to the show, to the podcast. I appreciate you coming on. It is an honor having you on, Dominic. For some of our listeners that might not know, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I've been a character actor for 25 years. I'm originally from New York. There was a small town about 45 minutes north of New York City called Ossining, New York. I got the first acting bug when I was starting my high school musical called Grease. I was 16 years old. I went to college for 1 year upstate at Poughkeepsie, New York. I just had just inside my soul, in my heart, just always this yearning to want to express myself. The adrenaline rush from performance, as difficult and challenging as the business and the art form is, it was just always calling me ever since I was a young kid. 86 IMDb credits later, I have never given up. I have taken every single odd job you can possibly imagine in order to survive. A lot of my little big breaks, my 15 minutes of fame, they consist of two to 3 days to sometimes 2 weeks of work, and then you're back to the grind. But just always having a very strong work ethic, I've been able to continually pursue my dream, at the same time support my family, as I've always stayed humble, I've always stayed grounded, and just appreciated every opportunity as a privilege. Keep myself surrounded around positive people, always involved with charities, goodwill. I've been a lifelong Star Wars fan since I was 5 years old, ever since I got my first Cantina playset with the original 12 figures. Ultimately, this was obviously just a dream come true a couple of years ago, and is just kind of still materializing now in terms of just the fact that, you know, to be a one-of-a-kind Star Wars bounty hunter is just beyond words there.
Yeah, that is amazing. That's a dream come true for anyone. I was kind of looking through your IMDb page, and I've seen that you've been in, like you said, you're a blue-collar actor, and you kind of take all work. I've seen you've been in Van Helsing, 9-1-1, Deputy, NCIS, just to name a few. How's it been working on just some of those odd job projects? Have you had a good time with it? Has it been helpful with the experience and whatnot?
Absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, one of the frustrating things is now it's such an oversaturated market, whereas back in the 90s and early 2000s, by this point, I think I would have been more of a celebrity at this point. But the thing is just with all the YouTubers and all the venues in terms of entertainment, I guess that's been the only thing that's been frustrating, is working so hard on so many different popular shows. And unfortunately now everything's just sort of diluted. And I guess the good news about that is there's more work, but at the same time, there was something very special in terms of the goal of, not in terms of being famous, but as far as just becoming a name actor, to where just life gets a little bit easier in terms of your rate. You know, you start thinking about, you know, where, you know, you start getting a higher rate where you can maybe retire someday. So just in that regard, it's been a little bit of a challenge. But also at the same time, there has not been one day that I have not been so gratified in terms of being able to do what I love. So, you know, it's a challenge day in and day out. The odd jobs, you know, again, I mean, it really is a struggle in terms of just trying to weave and bob in between each week. But also at the same time, this has been just a dream year, a dream 5 months so far, ever since episode 1 of Mandalorian has come out, to where we're doing kind of this national world tour up until now in regards to just meeting the fans and sort of branding this very unique looking bounty hunter. This has been sort of a special little path, a little side path, I'd say, because it's not necessarily an acting accolade, but just kind of more along the lines of the fun. And the whole reason I got involved in the business, I was a huge fan of 1980s pop culture. You know, Goonies, Stand By Me, Back to the Future, Indiana Jones. You know, I mean, just you name it, obviously Star Wars and Gremlins and just so many amazing directors, Superman, you know, Richard Donner. I just finished his book. What a legend. You know, just things like that. I mean, this was the reason I got involved in the business. So it's been kind of an exciting little side path for me these past 5 months. And, you know, you just don't know what the future brings. We've got a couple shows coming up and a nice movie we're going to start filming in Boston this June. So a lot of good things to look forward to. But hopefully let's just get past this little scare here with the virus and everything else. And hopefully we'll be on our way to continually making this Bounty Hunter very iconic.
Oh, yeah, for sure. That's amazing. I'm hoping we can kind of get over this before Celebration comes up here in Anaheim in August, because I know I'm attending. I think I saw that you're attending, if I'm correct.
That's correct, yeah. There's a Lucasfilm artist, illustrator. His name is Todd Allen Smith, and he got an approved image of my character, which I'm actually going to be signing complimentary for the fans. I may or may not throw in a special collector's edition coin, which will be available, and I appreciate any donation. Lucasfilm, they love me, and I've been so grateful to have their blessing, but I will not be charging at that event. But just the fact to make kind of Gecko sort of this iconic, you know, canon into, you know, the Star Wars history just for me is just a dream in and of itself, regardless of the financial that weekend. And obviously, I've just been very fan-friendly for many reasons, but it's just going to be a dream come true to reach out to so many of the fans where we can share our love together for Star Wars. And also, I appreciate everyone's appreciation for my character and my involvement, even as small of a sliver as it is within the Star Wars community there.
Oh, definitely. I know that's probably every Star Wars fan dream to be in the universe in some sort of capacity, whether it's thing behind a mask. I know there's plenty of celebrities that have cameoed in the new trilogy. I mean, just behind a Stormtrooper costume, just to be able to say, you know, they were in Star Wars, whether you see them or not. So I see, you know, you said you're promoting The Mandalorian a lot, doing this big international tour. You've been doing a lot of conventions, a lot of stuff like that. How have you been enjoying that? Has it been something that, I mean, I've been to a few cons myself, and I really enjoy just the atmosphere. Is that something you're enjoying? How's that going for you?
It's been amazing. I've just been a little bit taken back in a very beautiful way, but also at the same time, just kind of also in almost a sensitive way, in that understanding, I've been beginning to understand even more and more in terms of how special and how important this franchise, this series is to so many Star Wars fans and to so many people throughout the world. It's not only just the United States, but just throughout the entire world. It's been absolutely overwhelming in many ways, because the one thing is, you know, I'll get a photo with somebody and I just don't think anything of it. You know, I mean, I'm just right. I just think of myself as sort of a regular Joe. And just the fact that I've been able to touch some of these fans' lives in such a special way to where, you know, I'll find them, maybe buy an autograph, but then they come back, you know, maybe 2 or 3 hours later and they just want to maybe, you know, get a patch or take another photo or have me. There's another gentleman in Miami just recently. He wanted me to just sign his, you know, he comes around with this cosplay sort of notebook and such. But it's just been really heartwarming to sort of be this small ambassador to so many of the fans and to really feel their love and their passion for the franchise in so many ways. I've never had that one-on-one experience other than, you know, online, which we mostly do, you know, on Twitter and Instagram right. and Facebook, you know, kind of debating the different storylines and such. So it's been quite an interesting experience. But also to just sort of be able to touch lives in so many ways where people are just happy to meet me. I can't tell you how humbled I am and how grateful I am for that experience. And I really genuinely look forward. I technically have 21 more cities until November. So really genuinely, I'm looking forward to meeting so many more throughout the world. And also there are a handful of different charitable organizations through the Star Wars community. I'm sure you're familiar and your listeners familiar. The 501st Legion, you have the Mandalorian Mercs, the Rebel Legion, the Sith Dynasty, the Twin Sons. I mean, the list goes on and on in terms of just different groups in regards to the causes that they do, the charitable causes they do to it for their local communities. I've been heavily hands-on with them in terms of sending out a merchandise packet, you know, for their local raffles. I just sent one out to Tennessee. I've got one going up. I had one for the Peter Mayhew Foundation, which does good for a lot of good causes, and then one going out to Oregon tomorrow. So I've been really grateful to be able to be, a small ambassador and to work kind of side by side with so many of these organizations that do so much good within their communities there.
Wow, that's great. Yeah, it's this little movie that came out in 1977. It's just amazing to see the impact it's had on everyone's lives, you know, from fans to the actors to the storytellers. It's so amazing. And then someone like you, you love Star Wars, and now you get to be a part of it, and you're giving back because of it. And I think that's amazing. I want to say thank you for that, because I just think that is the coolest thing.
Oh, wow. No, absolutely. No, without question. I think at the end of the day, you know, I mean, it really goes abroad, you know, off of the lines of just going to the theater and enjoying just such this beautiful, you know, this beautiful fantasy, this story. The fact that, you know, we're able to touch people's lives in a positive way, especially children, especially the elderly and people in need. I've just always wanted to be an ambassador my entire life for good causes. So just to have that opportunity now is just really, truly a dream come true.
Yeah, that's so cool. So yeah, I mean, obviously there's been probably a lot of life changes for you being in Star Wars and, you know, doing this tour. Just being on the show, though, I mean, I know there was an amazing cast, you know, Gina Carano, Pedro Pascal, Carl Weathers, who, I mean, you worked with directly. And how was that experience on set?
It was amazing. I'd be lying if I said I was not anxious, not because I was nervous for any reason. But obviously, if you put any Star Wars fan in that situation, obviously the excitement comes first, but then what happens is the anticipation of being in this business for so long and not knowing, if you're not the star, what's going to make the cut and what's not. And that was a pretty extensive action sequence on Navarro, in the third episode. And the thing was just, you never know how they're going to cut it. I was grateful enough to get a certain amount of screenshots. There were a couple more I would have loved. There was one where I was kind of going head to head with Mando, where they had this great over the shoulder shot of him as he was lying down on this sort of, flatbed. Well, he was being pulled by sort of an R5-D4 as he's holding the child. And there were a couple of shots that I remember feeling the camera. I've been doing this for so long, so I can sort of feel the camera in many ways. And it was just beyond words to have that opportunity. But also at the same time, I was just nervous in the sense of what's going to make the cut and what's not, because obviously I knew what was at stake in terms of being iconic within the Star Wars universe for the rest of my life, which I was very excited about and very much looking forward to.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I can't imagine. I probably wouldn't be able to contain my excitement, if I'm being honest here. That's amazing. I don't know if you're allowed to tell us anything. Yeah. Or will we perhaps see Gekko in season 2 of The Mandalorian?
I can neither confirm or deny, but I will say again, there is a comic book. I'm saying for the first time, there's a new comic book that came out. It's called Marvel. It's hosted by Marvel. It's called Star Wars Bounty Hunters. And there was amazing illustrations that I've already seen by a gentleman by the name of Paolo Vitrinelli. I might be messing up his last name, but Ethan Sachs has been heading it up. He's the head editor of this comic book. And I will say there is a strong possibility, I can't guarantee, that you will be seeing a backstory of Gekko in that series. And also rumors of they're coming out with maybe a fourth or fifth wave later on this year of the Star Wars toy line through Hasbro, that we may see a Gekko action figure. So those right now are the things that I can talk about. Unfortunately, season 2, I can't say anything, but ultimately that would, for me, would just be again just sort of the icing on the cake to be able to not only have this opportunity, not only to be in the universe, but to have gotten such extensive makeup done by this brilliant makeup artist by the name of Brian Sipe. He headed up Drax in Guardians of the Galaxy. His resume just goes on a mile long. I mean, you know, he's worked with everyone from Rebecca Romaine Stamos. I think they might be divorced, but I remember that was her name at some point. And then also Arnold Schwarzenegger and, of course, David Bautista. So it was just an honor to have him specifically create this character for me, not to mention the Bounty Hunter, not to mention also being a member of the Bounty Hunter Guild, which obviously is so coveted, and they'll be exploring more, I'm confident, of over the next so many seasons. So that in and of itself, just out of respect also to all the Star Wars fans who would just love one little opportunity to just go on as a sliver of the galaxy, is just more than I could have ever asked for there. So exciting things ahead, and we just have to stay tuned there, of course.
Yeah, definitely. That's awesome. An action figure would be amazing. He would look super cool in action figure form, that the Gekko character. I can't wait. I hope we get him. I know I'll be getting one if he comes out.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Of course. Of course. I do want to ask, I don't know if you've been asked this, but what was your feeling on Baby Yoda, the child? I know he's been just a pop culture phenomenon right now, so.
Well, I have a very interesting story with that because the Mando was actually swaddling a baby at that time. There was just nothing that you saw, and I just figured, okay, it was just a prop. But at that time, what I thought it was a backstory to Poe, Rey, or Finn. I thought that this was going to extend out of the sequel trilogy, and this was going to be a great origin story for one of them. That's where I thought the story was going. So when I first saw it, I was actually nervous to watch the first episode because I didn't know what was going to be in, what was going to be out. I was also holding my breath like any Star Wars fan would for the third episode. You know how they released them weekly. So I actually didn't see it. I ended up getting a text, and that text I was just really thrown back with because I'm like, wait, what is that? And then I'm putting two and two together. I'm like, oh, my God, I had a blaster pointed at this child. But just the fact that it was $5 million, and when you start seeing these subtle expressions, not to mention the lore, the mythology, I mean, what has made Star Wars so magical, I feel like you have the ground, you know, sort of zero or sort of the grassroots of something that could be very special. Because to me, what has made Star Wars special for so many years has genuinely been the mythology and the stories, the parallels to life. And who better to have told that story or have told those teachings and inspirations throughout the Star Wars universe or through the Star Wars stories, but Yoda. And obviously, you know, we cannot confirm or deny whether, you know, it's a Yoda species or what have you. I mean, there's obviously no denying it looks like Yoda.
Right.
But obviously, I think that being the ground base and obviously the main, one of the main characters, is just really, I think, it's very exciting in terms of what to come in store. And obviously, then you just trust in Filoni and Favreau with not only their historical resume, Filoni obviously with the animation, you know, and also mm-hmm. just his love of Star Wars, but also Favreau with all of the work he's done with Disney and Marvel already. I think we're in for just a really good treat over the next so many years. And I think Star Wars is in really good hands with both of them there, without question. Not to mention the legendary now, Deborah Chow, who's going to be heading up the Kenobi series. And I know she's going to be doing an amazing job there as well.
Yeah, it's the future of Star Wars I'm so excited for. The Mandalorian was fantastic. All the animation, Dave Filoni and Jon Favreau were just amazing, in my opinion. How was it working with those two? I mean, those are two legends in my book. I love everything Jon Favreau does. Like you said, Dave Filoni is amazing with everything he's done in the past. So what was it like working with those two?
I was really amazed in terms of how cool, calm, and collected they both were. I've been around a handful of directors. I mean, even just having small parts and just also seeing the, you know, the turbulence of fulfilling a production, you know, from start to finish is not an easy job for producers and directors. A lot of times they're under the knife. I mean, they're under the gun there in terms of, you know, the stress that you have with a $100 million budget on your shoulders. When you hear old stories of Michael Bay and James Cameron, you hear about a lot of yelling and screaming and shouting and demanding and people getting fired in front of everybody else, you know. And the great thing is, I mean, these guys, you know, you would follow them onto a Navy ship, not to mention them, but also Deborah Chow, in terms of just the calm collectiveness combined with, believe it or not, I mean, such an amazing Star Wars fan experience to have both Kathleen Kennedy and George Lucas on set the first couple of days, which was really, really wow. special for me and I think for any Star Wars fan. But to see the camaraderie, to see the leadership, and also, I mean, the crew and the cast all working together soundly and professionally. This is not something to where, you know, you have anyone goofing around or you have people not knowing what's going on. I think them being calm and collective was sort of a story and sort of a parallel to understanding why the series has been so good in season one and why it will continue to be, because they just were completely new from start to finish. Their plan, their goal, and I think if anything, it was less about being anxious or nervous, but just in terms of being excited to show the world their work, and I think they did an amazing job with that.
Yeah, they've done a phenomenal job thus far. I'm excited for season two and hopefully many, many seasons after that. I love the feel of it because, like you said, it's new, it's different. It was very, in my mm-hmm. opinion, it was a Western vibe. Very much so, in my opinion. And mm-hmm. I just loved that feel. It was a Western space, which is what Star Wars was, in my opinion, when it first came out all these years ago. And them bringing that feel back is just, it's amazing. I think that's what we needed just after all these
yes.
years, for sure.
Absolutely. And what a perfect balance it was between the Western and between fun and a little bit of drama, but not too sappy or any of that. And then also the introduction of different planets and characters. I mean, the great thing is for them to be hopping from planet to planet and from, you know, from area to area kind of gives it sort of this vast experience, you know, where, you know, you're not just sitting there and locked in to where, you know, a lot of times, like, say, a TV show, you know, you might feel like they're just on a soundstage, you know, and it's like, all right, this is kind of corny, or you can just kind of feel the budget. This new LED screen is really, they're using it to its full potential. And I mean, it's so refreshing to feel that, because then you feel like you're being transported to different worlds, which is such a great form of escapism there, not to mention, again, such a great storyline for so many reasons.
Oh, without a doubt. It's amazing. When I saw those images and found out that it was, like, on this soundstage, or, you know, with the effects they're using, that Disney's the new effects, and it's just, it's amazing what they did. I look at the pictures with some of the Mandalorian, how it's a backdrop and all that, and I still can't believe it, going back and watching it, and then seeing those, like, it just doesn't seem believable to me, what they're able to do with this technology.
The first day when I had my camera test, I was about 20 feet away. It was Werner Herzog's lair, you know, and believe it or not, you can go back and take a look. The window behind his office there is actually part of the LED screen, and literally standing about 20 feet away from it, I had to take a double take because it looked more clear than any type of high definition IMAX theater screen that you would ever see. And then if you look over to the left, you know, on one of the sides of the soundstage, you had two rows of God knows who, you know, maybe these Harvard or MIT graduates that were operating this. And it literally, I said, you know, I always had goals if I won the lottery. You know, if you win $100 million, we all have that one dream of what's that sweet thing we're going to get. Well, I'll tell you, I'm going to create an extra bedroom or an extra room where we have that surround LED screen that covers your peripheral vision and maybe about 10 to 15 different channels where you can just genuinely be transported from world to world. I think that's going to be the new goal in terms of if we ever meet. Win the big lottery there.
Wow. Yeah, I don't blame you. I've seen that in, like, you know, the old or sci-fi movies where they just push the button and they're somewhere else in their bedroom, and that's exactly what we have now. So I might have to join you in that dream if I win the lottery, because that sounds a little exciting. Go to Hoth whenever you want.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it's been absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing there. So, yeah, it's we'll see. But, I mean, I think the great thing is in terms of you know, in terms of technology, I think we just have our whole world ahead of us there. And it's really going to be exciting the way that they take movies now going into the next decade or so. It really is going to be absolutely amazing.
Yeah, for sure. And it's cool. You'll be able to say that you were a part of that that kind of trailblazing for that. So that's some to add to the resume there. That's pretty neat.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So you've got some. I saw that you recently had a guest starring role on a Nickelodeon show called Danger Force, I believe it is.
Absolutely, yeah. And I was so excited to get that because I've never done that genre before. I think one of the big goals, and especially me, I don't mean to knock myself, but I'm pretty specific in range. The good news about that is I fit a certain category, but also at the same time, I don't necessarily go outside of that category. But when I have that opportunity, and I don't have egg on my face where it's just too much out of my range, I'm not, you know, necessarily a Tom Hanks or a Gary Oldman where I can, you know, go from A to Z. It's really exciting. And I did some comedy previously, you know, years past, doing, you know, a web series and such, but never at the major league level. So my kids are a little older. They're 14 and 10. But a very popular show on Nickelodeon called Henry Danger now has a spinoff called Danger Force. And it really is quite something there. So that's going to air April 18th. And then we're going to be heading to Boston to do a very, very good thriller there. And I'm going to be starring in it in Boston. I'll be filming for 2 weeks out there. It is called Deceived. I also have a sociological thriller that should be releasing later on this year. It is called Anonymous Killers. And that one I'm really, really proud of. A lot of times, you know, you're always promoting your work just because you want to be seen. But this one specifically has just a really incredible thought-provoking script. There's five killers that have been trapped, and they've been trapped. The only thing they have in common is that they've killed someone through their lifetime. But the thing that makes it very interesting is that not that you ever sympathize with killers. However, this film, at least in the fantasy world, will make you sort of think twice in terms of passing judgment in a negative way on some of their stories. You know, some of it might be justified. And it brings forth a lot of issues that are going on in society, those that may come from privilege, those that don't. depending on your political, your social views, you're going to have a different view. Everyone's going to have a different view when they walk out of this this movie. So I was really excited to star as this character, Romero Scaranelli. And that should be hitting, I would say, in reality, probably Amazon streaming there maybe towards the end of the year there. So very excited about the projects that are coming up for me over the next year or so here.
Wow, that sounds super exciting. Yeah, I was going to ask you about The Anonymous Killers, and that plot sounds really, really good. I am excited to see that one. I'll have to keep a lookout. And you said, when was that going to be airing again?
Well, the world premiere, oh boy, I tell you, let's hope we can get through all these scares here, is scheduled in London, which I'm scheduled to fly out to March 27th at one of the major film festivals out there. And at that point, they have deals with a few distributors. So I'm going to assume probably towards the fourth quarter of this year, I'm really, really excited to hopefully have it play out. Yeah.
Okay, definitely. I'll have to keep an eye out for that. I'm excited for that, as I'm sure all our listeners are excited as well. Do you have anything else in the books or any thing you like to bring up or promote?
I've been just sort of an outgoing. There's been an outgoing outreach as long as I see it publicly with the 501st Legion. They've been doing so much good. And I've been heavily involved throughout this tour and throughout this sort of experience, you know, as a bounty hunter representing the Star Wars universe. It's just been a real pleasure, a genuine pleasure for me to give back. So just to, you know, your listeners and to you and to anyone, you know, who is involved in the Star Wars community, you know, don't feel free on social media, you know, just search Dominic Pace to reach out. If it's something to where I can make a kid happy or there's a cause where you have it publicly advertised, you know, sometimes with Europe, you never know if they just want to steal your autograph. But within the 501st Legion, I trust them immensely. And when they ask me if they, you know, to do something, I genuinely want to be able to be there and to help them there. So it's really been it's something that I've been really passionate about. And I appreciate you spreading the word just in regards to continually outreaching there. So.
Yes, of course. Anything I can do to help is great. And again, thank you for all that you do in the Star Wars community. I know it's greatly appreciated by myself, and I'm sure thousands of others in this community that we've created just from this film. I want to say thank you again for coming on, Dominic. I appreciate all the time that you've given us.
Thank you so much. Absolutely. I appreciate you. And again, feel free on social media to check me out, Dominic Pace, and I'm there to support you guys as well and your endeavors as well. So appreciate everyone's support and wishing everybody all the force with them there as the years progress there.
Yes, yes, definitely. May the force be with everyone. And thank you, Dominic, for coming on once again. As always, may the force be with everyone out there.